From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Coronavirus infections have risen sharply in Brazil, where the spread of COVID-19 has been described as a freefall. In the country's favelas, home to many of the nation's poorest, residents have taken to organizing their own response to the virus in the absence of leadership from Brazil's authoritarian president, Jair Bolsonaro. The Bolsonaro government recently came under fire for manipulating COVID-19 data and was forced by the nation's Supreme Court to restore the national tracking database. Most troublingly, there are now reports that Bolsonaro's government is exploring the use of the military in order to hold on to power. Bolsonaro's own son, who is an admirer of Brazil's former military dictatorship, said, quote, "It's no longer an opinion about if, but when this will happen." My guest is Maria Luisa Mendonça. She is the director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights and a visiting scholar at the CUNY Graduate Center in New York. Welcome to the program, Maria Luisa.
Thank you.
So now we see Brazil only second to the United States in the number of COVID infections. Of course, like the U.S., Brazil is a very large and very populous nation. But what do you attribute this rise in numbers to? Is this because directly of a lack of leadership from the Bolsonaro government?
Well, the Bolsonaro government is actually giving incentives for people to go out, to not to use a mask, not practice social distancing. And the worst part is that more recently, he's also giving incentives for people, telling his supporters to attack hospitals, doctors. Some of his supporters actually entered hospitals and harassed people who were sick inside the hospitals. Also, Bolsonaro is against all state governors that are trying to keep policies to avoid the spread of the virus. So even right-wing governors that are trying to prevent the spread of the virus are criticizing Bolsonaro. The governor of São Paulo, for example, said that he needs to fight two problems, you know, the coronavirus and the virus of the Bolsonaro administration, and he's a right-wing person. So, you know, Bolsonaro is really causing, that is a direct result. This is a direct result of his policies and his rhetoric.
Now, we see, I understand, in Brazil, a very similar racial component to the virus, just as here in the United States, we see African Americans much more susceptible to dying from the disease. In Brazil, there is a sharp class and race divide. There are reports showing that Afro-Brazilians are much more likely to catch the disease and much more likely to die from it.
Yes, also, you know, one important piece is that who can actually stay home, right? And Brazil, in this sense, is the racism is also has to do with colonization. You know, we have now still, you know, the practice of even middle class families to have maids, for example. And the spread of the disease actually started when some of these middle-class, upper-class families traveled to Europe, and then even the ones who knew they were infected still had people working in their houses. So this is a problem. Also, you know, you see images of very packed public transportation. So for workers, it's almost impossible to practice social distancing, so they are much more vulnerable. So what we see now is that the communities themselves are trying to organize and try to prevent the spread of the virus, because there is no public policy that is effective right now. So in the favelas, in the rural communities, the communities themselves are trying to protect themselves.
There are, of course, several of the branches of government taking different approaches. There's the Supreme Court in Brazil, there's the military, and then there's the Bolsonaro government. Let's first talk about the military. The fears of a dictatorship are looming quite large now. And of course, when Bolsonaro first came into power, that was a big part of the critique against him, because he was openly admiring of the dark era of dictatorship. And I quoted in my introduction his son, who is now openly saying it's not a matter of if, but when. How, where does the military's position lie? And how close is Brazil to sliding back into dictatorship?
Yes, already Bolsonaro appointed military personnel to key positions in government, almost in all offices, in all ministers. You have military personnel occupying positions of power within his administration. So also the vice president is a military officer. So already, his government is dominated by military personnel. And now what is happening is that there is a contradiction within certain parts of the elite in Brazil that went along, because I think, you remember we talked about this when President Dilma was impeached. There was actually a coup, a parliamentary coup against her, and Bolsonaro was a Congress member at that time, and he voted for the impeachment in the name of the military dictatorship and the officer who tortured Dilma when she was a political prisoner during the dictatorship. So this is happening, for a long time. And let's say the traditional conservative party supported the coup against Dilma and opened the space for this far right government that we have now. So now the question is, what is the mainstream media is going to do? Because, they also supported the coup. All the powers that supported the coup against Dilma, there are some contradictions now. And so if Bolsonaro feel pressure from those conservative forces, maybe he would, try to to then do like a self coup d'etat, in order to avoid criticism or being charged, because there are also investigations on several fronts against him.
What about the Supreme Court? Where is the Supreme Court now lying? In the past, the court has taken political positions. Now it seems as though the court is, at least on the issue of the COVID crisis, taking a firm stand against the Bolsonaro government, or at least trying to hold it accountable.
Yeah, this is a good question, because the Supreme Court went along and supported the coup against Dilma, and then supported the arrest of former President Lula, even though there is no evidence against him. So he was not able to run for the presidential election. So the Bolsonaro is a result of this process, right? It's a political vacuum created by the coup. And the Supreme Court went along, but now that Bolsonaro is talking about closing the Congress, the National Congress, and closing the Supreme Court, his supporters have been protesting against the Supreme Court. Some judges have received death threats. So, this is a good example of how there are these contradictions within the elites, within the Supreme Court, even conservative people in Congress, some governors. Some people are saying, so now they're going against us. So we don't know what's going to happen, but the situation is very dramatic, and there is a serious risk of a self-coup. And we don't know how much power the Supreme Court, the Congress, the media, all the other powers will have to prevent this.
What has the response from the public been? Is there that split between the pro-Bolsonaro and the anti-Bolsonaro public apparent on the streets? Are there protests from both sides?
Well, Bolsonaro now has not much support. You know, there were a few demonstrations in support of him, but usually there's just a few hundred people, not large demonstrations in support of him. But there is also a lot of media manipulation, fake news on social media. This is another reason why he was able to win, because, and this is another front of investigation, you know, is around the spread of fake news and probably with the support of Steve Bannon. You know, it's a, that is this global far right organization, and Bolsonaro, Steve Bannon, they are part of that. So it's similar. They use similar strategies to manipulate public opinion.
Now, so you are suggesting that the tide among the public is turning, that people are becoming more critical of Bolsonaro. If so, is there enough momentum from the bottom to counter whatever, you know, slide into dictatorship might be coming, whatever military coup might be coming?
Yeah, there are. There have been demonstrations, for example, there was a large protest in defense of black people, women's rights. Indigenous people have been demonstrating, but with the coronavirus, you know, it's very difficult to organize large demonstrations now. But people have been protesting online, over Twitter, or even from home. But the problem is, I think that we don't have enough force within the grassroots movements right now because of the pandemic and because of the risk of repression. So, you know, every time there is a large demonstration, there is a great deal of repression as well. So I think that Bolsonaro is losing support, and because of that, we see also more criticism from mainstream media, you know, from Congress members, from the legal system. So I think that together with already, you know, the opposition that he faces in society, also we need to remember that he got 55 million votes. And his opponent from the Workers' Party, who only had 40 days to campaign, got 44 million votes. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like all Brazilians went crazy and started to support a far-right candidate. Then already there was a position before. And I think his now, you know, that people are seeing how much, how crazy he is acting, you know, with in relation to the pandemic, in relation to, you know, giving more and more support to the military, the threat to democracy, that already, you know, we came from a parliamentary coup. We cannot say that there is a democracy in Brazil right now, but I think that more people are also realizing that that is a great risk. The country is at a great risk.
So coronavirus deaths are sharply rising in Brazil. It is surpassing, it surpassed Italy, it surpassed Britain. It is now second only to the United States. How overwhelmed has the healthcare system there been? Are we seeing that kind of surge that we saw in Italy in the early days of the crisis when hospitals didn't even have enough beds for patients?
Yeah, it's very similar. It's worse in large cities, in São Paulo, in Rio, but also in states in the north, like in the Amazon, like the Pará state. Already,
right. We're now seeing some reports that the disease has reached some of the Amazon tribes.
Exactly, yeah. Usually because of the mining companies that are close to the indigenous communities. And in Pará, for example, up north, there have been mass graves already. And the one study from the University of São Paulo said that actually the numbers are probably like 10 times more than the official numbers. And many people don't even go to the hospitals. So I think in that sense, it's similar to the United States. That is, the numbers are probably much higher, and there is no public policy in place, you know, and the government is actually, it looks like they are happy with, you know, having people dying. Bolsonaro doesn't really care. So in that sense, it's like Trump. They have no sympathy for people who are suffering, and they're actually giving incentives for people to take a risk, to go out, not to wear a mask. You know, they really don't care.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Maria Luisa, for joining us today and sharing your insights with us on what's happening in Brazil. We'll certainly be monitoring the situation there. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guest is Maria Luisa Mendonça. She is the director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights, also a visiting scholar at the CUNY Graduate Center in New York. And we've been discussing Brazil's coronavirus response and the potential slide into dictatorship. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.